Tuesday, 15 December 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. It's a blessing to be able to come to you by means of Christian radio. Would you please join us in prayer? Father, do bless us. Give us grace as we study these great books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And God, how you use the preaching of your word to stir the hearts of your people and gave them courage and boldness. They were able to rebuild the temple, and then they were able to rebuild the walls and complete the work because of your marvelous grace. And God, you use the preaching of your word to stir the hearts of your servants to serve thee. Give us spirit-filled preaching today, and our day, and this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the last broadcast, I shared with you an article that from Madden Blount County, Tennessee, where officials are seeking to save the country from the coming wrath of God. I hope that was a blessing to you. Today, we'll go back to our text, and I have another really important announcement just showed up in the news prior to preaching this message, well, some days before preaching this message, that I think is really important for us as well. Well, in Isaiah chapter 58, in verses 11 and 12, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." That message is needed today, dear friend, to raise up the foundations of many generations. We're going to be, and that's what we're looking at right now, to build again the old waste places, to repair the breaches that have occurred in the walls and the work of God, and then to be a restorer of paths to dwell in. And don't forget Psalm 11 and verse 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" James said, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Paul, when he writes about works and salvation, justification, he speaks about the root of salvation. James writes about the fruit of salvation. Our justification is by faith alone. Works is the fruit of our salvation. To build up the old waste places, to raise up the foundations for many generations, to be repairers of the breach and the restorers of the past to dwell in. We said that Ezra and Nehemiah were both tremendous examples of men that were called of God to go back and to do this rebuilding work. And let me say, and I think this is true in anything, rebuilding is often harder than building the first time. I remember we had a family in our church, and they had an old family place here in New Bern. And when they came back to New Bern, they decided rather than building, they would restore that old family house. And they did. But they spent, I think, more money restoring it than they would have had they built a new house. Well, you say, preacher, there's sentimental value. And that's true. The point is, rebuilding is usually very difficult work because you've got the debris as well as discouragement that you have to work with. Well, we looked at Ezra, how the work of God was stopped, and then God called two preachers by the name of Haggai and Zechariah. And I'm telling you, they preached with spirit-filled preaching, and the hearts of the people got stirred, and they started rebuilding that wall again. And by the way, they finished it in 52 days. What a tremendous testimony to the grace of God. Then we'll just skip over right now to the book of Nehemiah. After the temple had been rebuilt, the walls needed to be rebuilt. Things had gotten to a low over in Jerusalem. When a man by the name of Hanani went over and saw what was happening there, came back to Babylon, and he was given an account of the discouragement and the disarray even after the walls had been built. There was a man there by the name of Nehemiah. He was also a captive. He had a very high position. He was the king's cupbearer. Now we'll take up the conversation that was overheard. We'll read the scripture and get right on with it. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, I'm reading from Nehemiah 1 now, 1 through 4. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. This is some of the best scripture I know of in the Word of God that defines or explains or demonstrates the call of God in a man's life. Here Nehemiah has a job. He has a good job. He's the king's cupbearer. But his heart is back in his homeland. It's back in Jerusalem. And when Hanani and these men of Judah come back, and he overhears or he asks the question, and they tell him the condition that's going on back in Jerusalem, his heart is just really smitten. The Bible says it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, if God's ever laid anything on your heart, I know that he lays a lot of things on our hearts. But I'm talking about some particular calling in your life. The kind of calling that I'm thinking about will upend your life. It'll change your life. It'll change you from what you're doing or add to what you're doing and will greatly transform your life. This is the situation. This is where a call of God differs from somebody who is just simply persuaded or convinced that there's some need out there and that somebody ought to do something about it. So Nehemiah is carrying this burden now, and remember, he is the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass, I'm in chapter 2 now, in verses 1 through 5, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine, gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Here you see it. Here we see it, do we not? Here is a man who had heard about a need. This need possessed his heart. And dear friend, I'm no doubt speaking to people like myself. God has spoken to your heart in some way like this before, and you know that it's something you cannot shake. It's something you cannot get away from. It obsesses your mind. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God has laid this burden on our hearts, just like he did on the heart of Nehemiah. And Lord willing, on the next broadcast, we'll continue this. I made a comment as we started this program today that I had another recent news article that goes along so well with this scripture. I certainly won't have time to read it today, but I have just read an interesting report where these legal scholars are urging office holders to refuse to accept same-sex marriage opinion as binding precedent. This appeared in the CNS News on October the 11th, 2015. It's tremendously interesting. 60 legal scholars have released this statement. Why? Because the decision that the Supreme Court made, of course, was not biblical, it was not constitutional, and certainly it is not legitimate law. We'll get to that later, but we'll come back to Nehemiah and his calling. In the meantime, may the Lord be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.